Ezekiel 34. I'm going to try to pick up on that. Had a mint in my mouth. I thought I'd better take it out. One fellow said he preached till the mint dissolved, and one day he forgot and messed up and put a button in his mouth. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? You'd never get through preaching that way, so I thought I'd better just take mine out in case it was a button. Amen. But my, how good it is. And I thought tonight that since Sister Carolyn's here, we'd find out the truth about Brother Tim. Yeah. Y'all can see her after church and see what the answers are. He's still sticking by that same old story. Ezekiel chapter number 34. I got into that this morning and tried to share with you. And I just wanted to try to finish that up. There's all kinds of I wills here in this chapter. And throughout the Bible, there's a lot of I will. When God says, I will, you can rest assured he will. It's not a maybe, might do it, hope you do it, he will do it. Stand to your feet, please, while I read the word of God. We'll back up to verse number 11 where we started this morning, read the same scripture, and then try to share with you just a few things. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh and out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall they be, their fold be. There shall they lie in good fold and a fat pasture, and they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away. We'll bind up that which was broken. We'll strengthen that which was sick. But, here's one of those holy conjunctions in Scripture. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I'll feed them with judgment. And changes altogether at that place and that verse of Scripture. And talking about those that know not God, those who are strong in their own will and reject God. He's talking about judgment then, and we'll talk about that just a little bit in a minute. Let's bow our head. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to come tonight. Thank you for every song sung, every prayer prayed, everything that's been done. I praise your name, God, for the privilege on Sunday evening to be in the house of God and to worship you. I praise your holy name. I thank you for those that you've been helped to be able to be back in church. Then some that are sick tonight and love to be here, I pray for them. I ask in Jesus' name, God, touch their lives and help them and encourage them. Then, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us. Father, we stand here as a needy creature. I realize without you, we can do nothing. And so in the preaching of the word of God, we need that divine touch. And I pray for the Holy Ghost to anoint us to preach and then take that word of God and speak to hearts. You know who's here. You know what the needs are. And I plead Jesus, plead the blood, claim that victory in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, let me remind you tonight the fact that in direct interpretation of this scripture, he's talking about Israel being drawn back in the day after tribulation, the millennium, bringing them back. And he's talking about setting up a kingdom, talking about what he's going to do for Israel. All those I wills there, talking about his people, his sheep. He's talking about Israel directly. And so we talked about the cloudy and dark day, day of tribulation, day that Israel is really persecuted. And we'll really find out who the Antichrist is, that he's not really who he says he is. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Christ, but he's an imposter. And They'll be persecuted and they'll flee. And God will only be the one that can help them survive in that day. And they'll be scattered. But they are scattered today, but they will be scattered even in that day. And they will be drawn back. I want to emphasize the fact that Israel will be drawn back to her land. She will be a nation forever. Amen. The Bible said she will. And all that millennium, 1,000 years, she'll survive as a nation and rule and reign from Jerusalem. Jesus will, and we will be with him. Amen. We will be with him. If we're saved, that is. If you're saved, you'll be with him and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. Now, that's a direct interpretation of this scripture, but we took that this morning and made application of what God does for us. And realizing the fact that God uses human instruments to get the gospel out and tell others about Jesus and so forth. But God is the one that has to do the convicting, the drawing, the saving, the lifting up, the delivering. He does all of that. And this morning I talked about the fact that here in verse number 11, I tried to separate that. I didn't do much of a job with it, but searching and seeking. But I know it overlaps in meaning, but he said he searched his sheep, then he go seek that which was out. And I used that illustration out of Luke 15, 99 being safe in the fold. And the one out on the mountain, and the shepherd goes get that one. And we talked about that. In fact, we tried to illustrate that of how he goes and hunts that one that's lost. And God knows from eternity past, forever he has known who would be saved. It is no surprise to God tonight that you're saved. It didn't surprise him when you got saved. And somebody gets saved tonight, he'll not surprise God. It never surprises God because God knows everything from beginning to end anyhow. But that does not change the fact that we have a choice to make. I want to emphasize that. Everybody has a choice to make about Jesus Christ. Amen. And you don't get saved because God decided that you're going to get saved and going to let somebody else go to hell. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. And so we can rest assured of that. But God knows everything from beginning to end, so he knows who. And so he seeks his sheep. And we talked about that, how he went out and sought that sheep until he found it, put it on his shoulders, and brought it back in safe and secure. I say hallelujah for that. I'm glad God did it. One day he said, I must needs go through Samaria. You know why? There was one sheep over there at a well that he needed to find. He went and found her. Then she brought a whole town out to see him. I say hallelujah. Amen. And, there's a lot of other illustration about that. But I talked about he delivered them. Then look with me in verse number 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. We talked about being delivered. That maniac, you remember the maniac, Gadara, when he come out there and Jesus went that way and knew he would meet, and Jesus really seeking him, and Jesus cast out the devils out of him, and a legion said, because he had many in him, and Jesus passed by that way and he found him and he delivered him from the demons. Amen. I realize that word demon not in Bible, Brother Gray pointed out to me one day. I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching for years and I've always used the word demon, and I thought it's in the Bible. Demon's not in the Bible. I thought I'd share that with you. Brother Gray shared it with me. I thought surely he's made a mistake. Surely the word demon's in the Bible. And I got to looking. I looked in every concordance I could find. I looked everywhere I could try to find it. But the word demon itself is not in Scripture. But it mentions devils. And we use the word demon to mean devils. That's what we mean. We interchange that word. But the word itself is not found in Scripture. And so when we say devils, we're talking about imps, those that have fallen angels that followed the devil. So we say devils. And I guess you could say the big devil and the little devil. Amen. But anyway, he's full of devils, that's for sure. And Jesus cast them out. Must have been a bunch of them, because about 2,000 pigs drowned that day because of the devils that got in them. And I drove him crazy and he ran down the hillside into the water and drowned. I say, devil will drive you crazy. Amen. He'll drive you crazy, and that's what happened to them. And it's a shame, isn't it? The pigs couldn't stand it, but people do. And that's odd. But the pigs went plumb crazy with the devils in them. And that demon, that man possessed with him, he was screaming and crying, cutting himself, running around naked and all that kind of stuff. He was in a mess till Jesus come by. But what I'm trying to get to is Jesus delivered him. I'm glad God delivered me from the power of sin. Amen. I still have sin in my life, but I'm glad God delivered me from the power thereof. I realize it's a continual work in my heart, but he saved me. He found me, picked me up. He birthed me. He put me in the family of God. He delivered me from the penalty of sin. He is now delivering me from the power of sin. He shall one day deliver me from the very presence of sin. I say hallelujah. He is a deliverer. Now, number three or four, whichever one comes next, I said he brought us out. Look in verse number 13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And here he is saying, I'll bring them out. And I want you to know he brought us out from the place where we were. Many, we changed company of who we kept company with and places we went, things we did. And so brought us out. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out, but headed toward a promised land. And they could have went in 40 years earlier if they'd listened to God and believed God, but they wouldn't do it. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But notice the second part of verse number 13. And will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. Now here he said, I'll bring them out, then I'll bring them in. He brought Israel out of Egypt to bring them into Canaan. And God saved us and brought us out of the world so he might bring us into the kingdom of the Lord. He wants us to live in victory in his life, in our Christian life. Enjoy the things of God. I want to talk about this feeding a little bit. And I touched on it this morning, but that's where we kind of wound it up. And I'm trying to catch up here with it. But feed, he said, I'll feed them. I noticed something in this chapter I'd never really paid close attention to before. But look in verse number 29. Verse number 29. I got to reading all the chapter together, and I looked at verse 29 and said, and I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. He said, I'll raise up for them a plant of renown. He said, I'm going to raise up something to feed them with. And that plant of renown, I don't know all there is to know about that, but I believe someday in the millennium, God's going to have a new plant, a new food, and going to be there to feed them, and they'll never hunger again. But I thought about something else. There's a root out of Jesse. As a root came forth, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread come down from heaven. I'm glad, thank God, he feeds us. Amen. That's what we're doing in the house of God tonight. We're getting fed. Amen. And feeding from the word of God. You say, preacher, you're not feeding to you. You listen good. You'll get something. Amen. That'll help you. And by the way, it's better than a bowl of soup. You can take that for what it's worth tonight and turn it around when you know what I'm talking about. And they call it a Super Bowl, so I guess it's a Super Bowl of soup. And this is better, amen. And I believe it is, amen. Being in the house of God, being fed from the word of God is better. Now, I enjoy football just like anybody else does, but I'm telling you right now, I'd rather be in the house of God, feeding on the word of God, hearing what God has to say, then have all the rest of it put together, amen. And we didn't put any big screen up so anybody could see that and that kind of thing. Brother Jerry was aggravating me, picking on me, I know he was. And Hazel, if he wasn't picking on me, you raise your hand, amen. And he's got a Bible on computer over there thing and looks like a television screen, and he's kind of picking on me, he's gonna pick it up over there. I don't believe it. I know Brother Jerry too well for that. And if he And well, he's not. That's just all he's doing, because I know him too well. But what I'm trying to say is, while we're feeding, aren't you glad that God feeds his children? And he gives us this word that we can feed on, amen. It's good food in there. It's good stuff in there. And Jesus is that bread come down from heaven and feast on him. When they went in the holies of holies, when the priest went in there, when in the holy place, they had a table of showbread. And when they made sacrifice, the priest would get that sacrifice and they would eat that. And that was their food. You remember one time David came by and the priest gave him some food. I'm glad, thank God. God's always got some food for us at the table of God. Amen. You come to the house of God and say, I didn't get much out of that. Maybe it's something you didn't particularly like, that particular meal. Did you ever go to the table and have something you don't like? Yeah, your mama fixed that, or your wife, somebody fixed something you didn't particularly like, you children especially. You go to the table and turn your nose up at spinach or something like that and say, I see some mamas looking back at her children and JoJo down there shaking his head. Hey, certain things they don't like and they're turning their nose up at, but I'm telling you, there's others that go to the table and they like whatever you put on it. And I'm going to tell on Errol. I know my family better than anybody else. Errol come to the table, and she's always like, that whole crowd's like vegetables. And she'll eat vegetables, and not a few, but a lot. But she'll eat them, and she'll get through. And she may take a bite or two of something sweet, but then she'll go back and get some more vegetables. That's unusual. Amen. I usually want the sweet stuff and leave the vegetables alone, but... I guess the Lord knew she's going to tote around a hunk one day and she needs some muscle. So he let her out like vegetable. I'm trying to tell you, good for you, amen. But you come to church, sometimes it's steak and mashed potatoes and green beans and stuff. It's yeast rolls, amen. And sometimes you come to church and it's spinach and collard greens. And I don't know if you like collard greens or not, but some of that stuff some of y'all don't like so good. And I like biscuits. I like cornbread all right. It's okay. I can eat it and like it's certain things, but I'd much rather have a good buttered biscuit any day. And some folk rather have cornbread. And we don't always get the same thing when we come to the house of God. But God has the table spread, amen. He gives us something that'll help us. And it may not be exactly what we like. It may not be exactly what we want, but it gives us something to help us, amen. And so feeding at the table of God. And I thought about Jesus, how good he is. And then he said, I'll give them rest. Now, look in verse number 14. He said, I'll feed them in a good pasture upon high mountains of Israel. There shall their fold be. They shall lie in good fold, in a good fold. They shall lie. Verse 15, I'll feed my flock. I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Now here God's saying, I will cause him the rest. I thought about Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still water. Hey, God always gives us a good place to rest. Amen. I found out something about sheep when I was young. And sheep will not lay down. They will not rest. And if two things are present, they won't rest. If they are hungry, they'll stay up looking for food. They'll be sniffing out something, trying to find something to eat if they're hungry. If they're scared, if they're afraid, they will not lay down because they're afraid to lay down. They're afraid something's going to bother them and hurt them. And I tell you right now, when they get scared, they can be pretty hard to handle. I remember one summer I was helping my uncle, and we were baptizing sheep. You say, preacher, that's crazy. What we're doing was dipping sheep. Had this big vent behind a truck, and we pull it and had sheep dip in it and fill it up. And we'd get to the farm, and we'd get the sheep together, and they'd run those sheep through there. And I'd be on the side of that thing, had a place to stand. And when the sheep come up on one side, I guess God knew I was going to be a preacher, going to make me practice baptizing. And that sheep would come up, I'd take his head and push him down, and he'd slide in that water and take him under. And I didn't smell too good when the day was over, but boy, we got the sheep under. But I was in one place over in Rich Valley near where my wife came from. And they had what they call some western sheep out there. And they had longer legs than sheep that we were used to. And those sheep, and one of them got up higher. And that sheep, when I got ready to take it down, it jumped. It jumped up, and I was trying to take him down. And by the time I got him down, a sheep, and he jumped hard. He's scared. He's afraid I was going to hurt him. And so he jumped, and I was reaching up like that and trying to put him down. As I put him down, and him on a high speed going that direction. Well, me and him both went down. I didn't go all the way in, but I thought sure the world I broke a rib on the side of that thing. He was scared. He wasn't resting. There wasn't any sheep I saw anywhere laying around resting. They were afraid. And they weren't, because they didn't know what was happening to them. What's that fella doing up there? I saw that sheep go up and then he went down. What's he doing to them? That sheep didn't know. He didn't understand that we was really helping them. They had ticks on them. They had other bugs on them. They had things that would irritate them. And we were taking them in the sheep dip to get rid of all that stuff. And they could go out and lay down in a green pasture somewhere and be at ease and not be afraid. But right then they were afraid. And when sheep are afraid, but I'm glad Jesus said, let not your heart be fearful, be not afraid. Amen. I'm glad he said, be not afraid. And I'm not giving them the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I question that sound mind sometimes about me, but amen. Some people said they don't have Alzheimer's, they have some timers. I have most of timers. Amen. But anyway, we realize in the sound mind. But what he's saying is, in the sound mind, I've given you something that you can really think it through and know what's right and wrong. And God didn't leave us out here hanging around without a sound mind. The world's out here without a sound mind. That's why they act like they lie. Their mind's never been brought in subjection to the Holy Ghost. If your mind ever gets brought in subjection to the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to think right. Until you get that, you won't think right. You think wrong. Your thinker's messed up. Wicked imaginations. The Bible says that man's minds are full of wicked imaginations. And we stay that way until the Holy Spirit moves in and gives us a sound mind and not a spirit of fear, but of love. I'm glad, thank God, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love. Tonight, I'm thinking about lying down, resting. I'm glad he gives us some rest now. And the Bible says, "There remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God." There's going to be a perfect rest one day. But even now, I rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bill Adair and I was talking before church. And this morning I mentioned about that sheep being on the shoulders of that shepherd and him holding four legs, one, two in each hand. That sheep was safe, couldn't go anywhere. That's how we are in Christ Jesus. We're safe, can't go anywhere, and he's got us there. But we was talking about the fact, if you don't believe that, just are you truly, fully trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, I'm not answering the question, I'm asking it. I'm not answering it, I'm leaving the answer. You answer that question, deal with it. But you think about it. If we really trust Jesus and rest in him, what he did at Calvary in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to him, we trust him to save us, and say we're putting all of our faith in him, salvation is of the Lord, how can you lose it? If you are dependent upon you to work and stay saved, you're lost as a goose. Amen, you can't do it. You say, preacher, if I do this or do that, I'd be unsaved. You can't unsave a saved. Amen. When you got saved, you got predestined. That's where predestination comes in. When you got saved, you got predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And we one day will wind up that way, but until then, God's still working on us. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad, praise God. I'm talking about resting in Christ. I am resting my eternity in him. I wrestled with it and worried about it and didn't have that peace in my heart. But I'm glad one day, thank God, it got settled. I know, and now I'm resting fully, completely, totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to live right. I want to do what's right. I don't want to mess up. I want to read the Bible. I want to go to church. I want to tithe. I want to do what God said. I have a desire to do that, but I don't do that because I'm afraid I'm going to miss heaven and go to hell. I'm resting in Christ Jesus and what he did to take me to heaven, plus nothing minus nothing. That's it. That's settled. Amen. You saved? You know you're saved. Have you settled that account? There's no song that account. Old account was settled long ago. Down on my knees, amen. I settled that account once and forever. Amen. Got tired of playing church. Got tired of trying to be saved. I just found out I could trust him and know I'm saved. And now, hallelujah, it's a whole lot better that I know that I'm saved. Amen. Praise God. I like his resting in Christ. Let me give you something else. He said, bind up. Look in verse number 16. It says, I'll seek that which was lost. He sought us out. I'll bring again that which was driven away. Sometime we get out of the will of God and away from God. He said, I'll bring them back. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. And so let's talk about this binding up. I'm glad he's the one that can bind up homes. Amen. I realize the fact that some things happen in some lives that others party may not be able to help, and things mess up. I understand that. Nobody has more compassion for people in that condition than I do. I know God forgives. God helps. I thank God that he does. But listen, I want to help young people. I want young people to pray, seek God. And when you marry, marry in the will of God. Amen. Seek God's face and try your best to follow God and let God help you. And then if you get shaky sometimes and think, and I look around tonight and I praise God. I've seen some that God's helped, and I thank God for that. I'm glad God knows how to help you. In the midst of all of it, God can help you when it looks like it's going to fall apart. You say, well, me and my wife, we never have fought any. I bet you lie about something else too. Now, you may not have fist fought. You may not have even argued. But I guarantee you, there's been a time that you had some disagreements or you wasn't speaking. Or you ever get that silent treatment? You ever give that silent treatment? I'm not going to speak to them. Melissa, you're laughing. I got tickled just watching her life. But anyway, I can't get over her life. But I guarantee you she don't give him silent treatment because she talks too much. That's probably what she's laughing about. I can say that because she'll take it, amen. But listen, I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you. Her and Randy, they're all, anyway, amen. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? But aren't you glad God can help you in your home? Aren't you glad God can help you? Amen. And young folk, when you're getting a home put together with God in the midst of it, amen. Let Jesus Christ be the center attraction of all of it. And if you let him run it, he does a good job of all things, amen. And let him help you, and I encourage you about that. But let me say this, not only home, but our hearts. You ever get a broken heart? You ever get brokenhearted about something? I'm not talking about this Valentine's Day coming up. I'm not talking about that kind of brokenheartedness when your boyfriend quits you and girlfriend or whatever happens to you. I'm not talking about that kind of broken, but a broken heart over situations in your life. I know you do. I know some here tonight that are. I have my own life. You have. All of us have at times had something to happen that broke your heart. It tore you up. I see some tonight sitting here that death came in their family and taken out that loved one and left a broken heart. But I'm glad God is one that can help put a heart back together. I'm glad. Amen. And by the way, Richard and Lisa, I was sitting in my office a while ago. I was reading Ashley's track again. I sat there and read that. I had her on my mind. I was thinking about her. And we got something special coming up I'll tell you about later. But I was thinking about Ashley and thinking how good it is that she's in heaven shouting glory hallelujah tonight. But there's a family that had a broken heart, but God helped them in their sorrow. And God's helping them tonight. They can laugh some. You can pick on them some. They'll laugh with you. They'll share with you. They know God helped them. I look over on my right and I see the Rollins back there. I remember being in the hospital with them. Their hearts are breaking. And we were praying, seeking God, trying. God have mercy on their son, let him live. God didn't see fit to do that, but God gave them grace. They're in the house of God tonight. They're still shouting victory tonight. I say hallelujah, amen. With a broken heart. I remember Brother Charles got hurt. My wife and I was talking about the other day when he got hit within the face of that chain. And they called, I was on the road. I was going toward the hospital at the time, going to see somebody else, but not to the hospital. I was just not busy. And I got the call. I got to the hospital at the same time before the helicopter did. It brought him. And I was standing there with the families that brought him by. I got a glimpse of him. I thought, there's no way that man going to live. My heart sank to my toes. And then when I went in to see him, I looked at him. I thought to myself, no way this man can make it. But we prayed and went through. I went home, sat down with my wife and cried and told her. And I wept over it because I knew unless God did something. But oh, somehow God has a way of coming in. God has a way of coming in, taking a broken heart and putting it, binding it back together, giving you some strength you didn't have, giving you something you didn't know. I look around tonight and say, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I know a God that can help you when your heart's broken. These things happen in families that break your heart and tear you apart. But I'm glad God has a way of coming by and binding it back together, putting it together. I say glory, hallelujah. We got a great God. Amen. It's able to do that. Aren't you glad for that? He said, I will, I will, I will. He didn't say, I try to. I'll do the best I can. You can go everywhere you want to and try to find help. But God is the one that can really help you. God will help you. And then these families that have children, they stray. And they fret. They worry. Rightfully so. Because all of us care about our families. It may not be children. It may be brothers or sisters. It may be moms or dads. It may be. But God knows a way and a how to take that broken heart and bind it together. And said, then strengthen that which was sick. I used Brother Charles for that example and thought about that. But let me show you the last thing, and I'm closing. But I will restore the fat. This is verse 16. But I will restore the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. I could not help but think about Brother Tony Finney preaching that message out of Isaiah chapter 1. Talked about the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. It's all sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. He said, and Brother Finney made the statement. I echo it. Sounds just like America. Sounds just like America. Then it says, why should you be stricken anymore? And we talk about he talked about the calamities that are happening in America, and then we saw Haiti, and we see all this in America, and that global warming bunch, I don't know what they're doing about all this snow. Maybe they get buried in it, but anyway. They talk about all that stuff, but God's allowing things to happen to get our attention. And we in America are seeing things happen and falling apart. God's getting our attention. But what he closed out with is what I want to close out with tonight. In verse number 9 of Isaiah chapter 1, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. He said God would have wiped us away had it not been a remnant. And then he reminded us that we are the remnant in this world. In America, we are the remnant. Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible teaching, Bible believing and acting people are the remnant that God's left in America. And we tonight are the only reason I believe that God has not wiped America away. That she has not totally collapsed. We've still got churches preaching. We still have people that are giving to missions. We still have missionaries being sent. We still have some folk that are praying. And I heard a statement on the news going home today on the radio of a statement that Sarah Palin had made as she was making a speech to one of these Tea Party groups. And she made this statement and said, we think we've had all the answers and we tried to think that we could settle and handle everything. Said maybe we should look. She didn't say maybe we should. She said, it is time that we look for divine help. I said, hallelujah. Somebody, Somebody made a statement that is a good statement. It's time we look to God for divine help. And George Washington himself made a statement and said, nobody can govern without God and the Bible, amen. And so we need to look to God for divine help. And I'm glad he's still on the throne. He's our help. No matter what else happens, he's our help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love and goodness and mercy. Lord, you're good to us. They sing that song tonight. God's good. Lord, I praise your name that you're good. We fail, but you never do. We come short of your glory, but you never fail us in any way. You cannot deny yourself. You are full of glory. Deserve all of our worship and our praise. We tonight bow our heads, humble our hearts, and say, Lord, help us see that you're the one that can bind up. You're the one that can fix. You're the one that can help us, forgive us, and cleanse us. You're the one that can take our lives, and wherever that's broken or cracked or has a problem, you're the one that's able to put it together and use it for your glory. Father, help everybody in this house to hear the word of God and respond as you would have them to do. Tonight, Lord, over the house, your will be accomplished, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.